This morning we're offering this Mass in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary because it's First Saturday and because we need Mary's intercession and the example of her faith. There are saints also. We have the option of honoring saints today, Saint Sixtus and his companions, martyrs of the early church, and then Saint Cajetan, holy priest and founder, but we will just ask for their intercession without focusing on their heroic witness of faith. Today, we had chosen a theme for the Mass. This is on our calendar. You might have seen it on the calendar. And the theme is, why could we not drive out the evil spirit? Why could we not drive out the evil spirit? The theme is taken from today's gospel. The disciples ask Jesus, why could we not drive it out? Let's get the context a little bit. This gospel, as it turns out, comes immediately after the Transfiguration, which is what we celebrated yesterday. So Jesus and three of the disciples go up the mountain, Peter, James, and John. But in the meantime, the rest of the disciples are down at the base of the mountain, and they apparently are trying to continue their mission of curing and driving out demons and proclaiming the kingdom. And in this case of this son of the man who approaches Jesus, they fail. So Jesus comes down the mountain and there's this standoff. The condition of the boy is not completely clear. In Mark's account, he's described as an epileptic, and his symptoms are clearly those of epilepsy. But in this reading, the father says that the boy is a lunatic, indicating perhaps a mental illness or something wrong aside from his physical condition. And then it's clear from what Jesus does that the boy also has an evil spirit, a demon. So there's physical illness, there's mental illness, and there's spiritual illness. And maybe the boy has all of them, I don't know. There's something wrong with him. It's not that unusual that illnesses exist on more than one level at a time. Certainly the worst illness is the affliction, the spiritual affliction that comes from sin and the influence of the evil spirits. But evil spirits know how to exploit weakness too. So if we have a physical illness, they can use it for their advantage or try to, and mental illness as well. Psychological weaknesses are sometimes openings for evil. What's unusual in this case, it says here that when they bring the boy to Jesus, Jesus rebuked him and the demon came out of him. It looks like he rebuked the boy rather than the demon. Maybe it's just a translation problem, but it seems to imply that maybe the boy also has some fault here. Now, there's no moral guilt in getting sick, and there's no moral guilt in mental illness. But in the case of cooperation with evil, well, that's where guilt comes in. Maybe that's why he rebuked him. But Jesus drives out the demon, heals the boy. He does the very thing that the apostles were empowered to do, to cure and to drive out demons. This is why the apostles approach Jesus in private and ask the question, why could we not drive it out? And Jesus gives them a very straight answer. Sometimes Jesus answers a question with a question. This time, no. He says it straight, because of your little faith. Why could we not drive out the evil spirit? Because of our little faith. In Matthew's gospel, this expression, little faith, comes up quite a few times. We've seen it not too long ago, earlier this week, in fact, when Peter was walking on the water and then started to sink. Jesus, after Peter calls out to him, Jesus reaches out and says, "Oh, you of little faith." Little faith. So Peter has little faith. Here the apostles, not Peter, James, and John, but the other nine, they have little faith. In contrast to little faith, there is great faith. We saw great faith the other day in the example of the Canaanite woman who entrusts her daughter, who also has a demon, to Jesus. And she won't take no for an answer. She won't take silence for an answer. She keeps persevering in her prayer. And Jesus says, "Great is your faith." So this is the contrast, great faith, little faith. It happens that the apostles are the ones who are accused of having little faith, and pagans like that woman or like the centurion are identified as having great faith. So we shouldn't take it for granted that we'll have great faith just because we are counted among Jesus' disciples, or just because we say holy words or hang around with holy people. That's not proof of great faith. Great faith is a radical entrustment of ourselves and all our intentions to God. It's an abandonment to God. Clearly, this is what Jesus wants of his disciples. When the man first approaches him, Jesus' response is, his first response is, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you?" So to be faithless is the problem. To be a faithless and perverse generation. The problem is not illness or mental illness or even demons. The problem is lack of faith. So let's apply this to our circumstances now. I don't know why this theme was chosen. It was chosen months and months ago. Of course, we were already in the pandemic, but we weren't in the lockdown that we're in now. But we can easily apply this question to our circumstances. Why could we not drive out the evil spirit? Why can we not drive out COVID-19? Why are we still in this crisis? It's naturally we ask the question. Is it because of our little faith? Well, maybe. It's not that easy to conclude. Do a little thought experiment here, use your imagination. Think of the holiest person in the world, who is by definition the one with great faith. Think of somebody with great faith. Maybe it's some unknown housewife in Peru or someplace, or maybe it's a Carmelite suffering from cancer and offering her illnesses, or maybe it's any ordinary person. Who knows who the real holy ones are now? But choose this very holy person, the holiest person alive today, person with the greatest faith, and imagine that this person has prayed for the end of the COVID-19 pandemic. Probably he or she has, and probably has been praying for the world for this last year and a half. Don't you think it's true? Yes. Well, then why has that great faith not had the effect of solving the problem? Because, well, part of it we don't understand, but we do have to understand this. Faith is not control of God. Faith is not telling God to do what we want him to do. That's where we can be misguided if we misinterpret what Jesus says about faith here. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Well, then we say, well, we don't care about moving a mountain. What we want to move is this virus, including Delta variant. We want to move it. We want to move it out. And we, every day, in fact, many times a day, we pray for the resolution of this crisis. And so far, it has not happened. We're getting into the mystery of God's providence and how he works good or brings good out of evil. And this is hard for us to fathom, but we should not conclude that we're not getting the result we want because we have too little faith. That's possibly the problem, but it can't be the problem for everybody who's praying. Certainly, even if we're weak, there are people who of great faith who are making this prayer, and has not yet had the effect. The fact is, faith is not control of God. Faith is openness to God. Faith is surrender to God. The reason why faith is so powerful, even if it's only the size of a mustard seed, is because God is so powerful. So if we open ourselves a little bit to the power of God, he can do a lot. Back to this COVID-19, and naturally this is what everybody's talking about all the time, or Delta variant, what everybody's worried about all the time. When we say, Lord, save us, Lord, heal us, Lord, bring an end to this crisis, when we pray this in faith, we open ourselves to the power of God, and God works through us to bring about good. What that good is and how he's doing it, we can't see. That's why it's faith. If we could see it all the time, then we would get the wrong idea that we're in charge and that what happens is because we say it. Maybe that's why the apostles failed here. After a very fruitful ministry, after they had cured many people and they had driven out many demons, perhaps they got it into their heads that they were powerful. And when they encountered this poor boy, they tried on their own to solve the problem and failed miserably. That seems to be what Jesus is rebuking them for. They were not acting in faith anymore. Maybe they were before, but not anymore. Why could we not drive it out? Because of your little faith. You weren't trusting in God. You weren't trusting enough in God. What we are being told here then is to trust in God. As we pray our oratio imperata, as we pray for those who are suffering from the lockdown, we pray with openness to God. Lord, save us. Lord, heal us. Heal our loved ones. Save this city. Save the world. Your will be done. Knowing that God can use a pandemic to draw his people to himself. He can use a pandemic in a way that we don't understand to bring about great good, to humble us, to convert us, to draw us to repentance, to prepare us for eternal life. As I've said so many times, the many people who die of COVID-19, even though we recognize that they're victims, they're not necessarily any worse off because they died of COVID-19. Maybe they went straight to heaven. That would be a very beautiful thing. And that could be the fruit of the prayers of millions of people of faith. So here we are. This is our thematic mass, and we don't have the choir because another victim of the lockdown. We don't have people gathered here. We who are here have a greater responsibility to pray because we are among the few who can participate in person in the mass. So let's, with greater faith, pray for the end of this crisis. Let us pray with greater faith for God's will to be done, to bring about a great wave, not only of physical healing, but of deep conversion, starting with ourselves. but a wave of conversion that infects the whole world.